Welcome back to Super Tuesday Recap. It's your host, Chris and Deepam here, and we're here to review Season 6, Episode 2 of The Flash. My synopsis, basically, I didn't have time to write it, but I was thinking about this when I was walking the dog. They basically turn, Barry basically pulls a Doctor Strange and sees all the possibilities, and they all end up with his death.
Yo, the beginning of the end.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, it was interesting to see the kind of the after effects of the monitor coming through and saying what he said to end last episode and the shit we know since last season, but like watching it become like mega concrete for Iris and Barry, like where he's like, now the paper changed. She's like, well, you changed it again. He's like, I don't think it works that way.
Well,
it was really something to watch them wrestle with that. I thought that was a moment where, you know, you kind of could have had them cut to then the next day at the apartment, but no, you stay with them in the room and had to deal with it right there.
Well, I think this goes also to something that they've been doing since season two. I mean, since last season, they kind of gotten back to, and we've been praising for, and we even did this last episode, where in previous episodes, this would have been a 5-episode arc with them kind of going through all these.
You can bet about that on season, but you're right. This is a step in that direction.
They would have taken this 5-season with them trying to figure out all the ways they could avoid crisis, only for us to all know that it's inevitable it's going to happen, right? Like, crisis is inevitable. We know that because, I mean, honestly, spoiler alert, that's the crossover. So
I know.
For the people living on the rock who have apparently, like, at this point, I think we need to announce that we are not officially cast in the Crisis on Infinite Earth because everybody else is.
That, Chris, maybe you didn't get the call.
Right. I'm a watch in November, December. I'm going to just see you sitting there in the background going, well, holy shit. Good for him.
I'm just holding a pair of yellow boots like, Mr. Allen, these are finally up for you.
Right.
We find out a hell of a time with them, but man, oh man, we figured it out.
Oh man, that's hilarious. But yeah, and I think it's just, to me, I appreciate them not dragging this out and us dealing with the fact that, hey, this thing is happening. Everybody knows it's happening. We're getting there. There's no point in us in here. And at this point, also, not just that we know what is happening, but even though this is kind of different, Barry and Iris has been through this before, right? We've been through this before. I even appreciate the spin on it when he goes to visit Jay and he's like, listen, I know I was time traveling. I should have been. And Jay's like, oh, no, you should have this time. This was actually the right move to make. And I was like, oh, how about that? That's good. Because I was expecting Jay to yell at him when he told him, so what the fuck were you doing in the Speed Force, Barry? I was time traveling again. Really? You haven't?
It was like, hey, man, this was the right call.
You
did the shit right. And I also like kind of Iris's resiliency because she's supposed to be dead.
Right.
Like, if there's one person in this crew who's going to stand and fight, it's going to be Iris. And I think they've set her up in a really strong kind of being a cornerstone of this season because of that in the past.
Right. So, and the other thing that this episode does that we've kind of talked about, and they started doing this again to better effect last season, which is like Barry and Iris are off handling this other thing and you got pretty much everybody else kind of doing their own thing, and it all comes together at the end. Yeah, but, you know, for one overarching theme here, but we're able to kind of, they're not all dependent on Barry having and Iris being the center of everything, and it allows other characters to kind of grow. We have this funny thing with basically, you know, have they figured out what the name, or what, not Caitlin is going to be called? Like, can't just call her Killer Frost. Did they ever figure out?
They were calling her Frost, right? Or was it Annie Frost, something like that?
You can't just call her Frost, though. I mean, it just, here's the thing. I also still have a problem with the fact that, we know she's a killer.
Bullshit.
Like, I mean, I'm just saying, at least Supermaner put some glasses on her or something.
Oh, my name. Supermaner. How about some fucking contacts, Cisco? We got a serum of... Hey, man. It's just the eyes.
Right, just get, like... I do appreciate the fact that we're dropping Palmer Tech like it's Wayne Tech in every episode. Like, every few minutes, it's like, oh, yeah, Palmer Tech here. And, oh, Ray Palmer did this. I'm like, in between time travel?
Well, you gotta remember that Ray Palmer and Palmer Tech, like... And we'll talk about this more in the other review. They took over a city.
Yeah.
He bought out a city.
Yeah. I'll be honest.
Like, that happened. He renamed that motherfucker.
Honestly, at some point, we need to talk about the fact that we're just lucky that Ray Palmer is so corny and that he didn't turn into a supervillain, because he should be
a supervillain. That's doom type shit right there.
He really should. Like, Ray Palmer really should be a supervillain. Like, his fiance died. The woman that he thought he was in love with left him for the hot jock.
He should be.
What?
He should be comics Hank Pym.
Yeah.
He's in everything except creative killers AI.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, we're at this point. We're getting to that point. It, like, you know, he's done enough damage on Legends, if you think about it. Yeah. So, you know,
he took the demon, the devil, into his soul last year.
Yeah, he's done everything but create the killer AI. So, you know, I'm just saying, like, we are very lucky that Ray Palmer didn't turn into a supervillain, because he really, honestly, should have been. He's stereotypical, you know, supervillain. So, but yeah, I mean, we're able to do all these other different things. We got a little, and we'll get into more detail on some of these things. You know, we have Cecile and what she's working on. Like, I just feel like the show has gotten to the point where they're able to balance the cast. That was a really big issue that we had with, I think, with seasons 3 and 4, which they were adding all these characters in, you know, and it kind of led to, I think, you know, issues with Wally's character development, is that they weren't able to kind of develop all these characters, and it felt like everybody kind of had to lean on Barry. And to be fair, at that time, nobody else was really at the level of...
They hadn't advanced them to compete with Barry.
Exactly, at that point. So at this point, we're able to do these things, and it works, and I appreciate the show is not backsliding in that case, so it allows us to kind of move forward with that. So, and I think it shows. It shows that we're able to kind of go down these paths and not, again, this is something we brought up last week. We're able to see the character growth pay off in a lot of these characters, and then you find new ways. Again, let's start with, you know, Frost. We're able to, you know, we've gone down a path with Caitlin, but now you basically have a whole new character in Frost, who basically almost starts from the beginning of who the fuck is she? Mm-hmm. And not understanding basic things. So her going through that art gallery and shitting on everybody's art, it's, you know, you're like, huh, that's it's kind of mean. And when is she going to get to old girl's?
That's mean as shit. And it's also, guess what? Fucking Ralph in an art gallery.
I know.
Who'd have thunk it?
Right. Hey, our boy grown. Our boy has class. I mean, he is on volume 2 with the Book of Ralph, by the way. So I'm just saying.
Ralph's like, I always come prepared with a tiny ass suit, man.
Right. Look. Hey, listen, but going back to what we were saying, the growth of the characters, right?
The
growth of the character. He comes prepared. He comes prepared to be. And again, they also found ways, like, Ralph is useful even outside of the suit, right? One, he's useful for helping other characters kind of grow and find themselves, which is going to be even more fun when he finds Sue. That's going to be more of a, like, he finally gets his come up, his due there. But he's able to, as Ralph, help Frost. He's helped Cisco. He's helped all these other characters kind of find themselves out of the being superhero. But now he's also kind of grown in himself as a superhero as well, but also he's useful as a detective. I mean, even though he was wrong this episode, it was like, oh no, she couldn't, she doesn't have power to do that. Oh wait, kind of wrong. Oh wait, maybe not. You know, it's just that he's able to kind of, we're able to show how useful he is outside of being a hero, which again, I think was one of the issues they were having with Cisco at some point, right? It's like they kept relying on him being Vibe and having his powers and going from there, which, by the way, I did find it interesting when Barry was, we did see Cisco. I know it's not our Earth, but technically saw Cisco in his Vibes costume.
Yeah, it was definitely in a Vibe suit, right.
Yeah, so I thought that was interesting. I mean, there's just, it's again, I like how they're able to kind of grow these characters. I like the fact of Barry, seeing basically his mom and it not throwing him off. You could tell that
Oh, it threw him off. It just knocked him completely off track.
Exactly. You know, and previous, you know, we would have gotten that loud out mom and a rotten hug, and you'd be like, come on, Barry, you know better. Come on.
And now he does. This is a veteran Barry. I hate to say it, this is the Barry you kill.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this is not Barry. He's got shit to learn.
Yeah, this is the elder statesman. And then that kind of ties into, you know, Joe West's, I guess we call black captainhood moments now. I don't know what we call them anymore.
No, it's fatherhood. He's black, applying it in different situations.
Right. The black fatherhood moment with Joe basically telling him, like, this is what a hero does. This is you wear a symbol, I wear a badge. These are the moments that we live and technically die for. We have a job to do and people that depend on us, and that's what we do. We stand in the face of you know, our own death, and
particularly in the DCU, like, these are like essentially super cops.
Yeah.
DC superheroes are essentially super cops. They're not vigilantes. They're not hunted by the police. They're not wanting to be unmasked. They're just kind of appreciated and loved, particularly the Flash.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he's also actually a fucking cop.
Yeah.
But I think that's such an important distinction. Like, when it's one of my pet peeves, like, oh, look at the Flash's costume. Like, it's a uniform.
Yeah.
Like, the suit matters. Like, the symbol matters. The badge matters. And I love Joe relating it and making it. There have been questions kind of like, I guess we've all joked about, like, how they had just these metahumans in the pipeline the first season, kind of like this Abu Ghabi, like, it was not good.
Right. And, I mean, we forget. Yo, people died in the pipeline, yo.
Yo, it was basically Guantanamo.
It really was.
It was Gitmo and a giant mega collider.
Right.
And
right.
Of course, when Barry reset the timeline, things got fixed in that way, but you see kind of how the Flash has gone from, even hell, like, barrowing Arrow. The Hood becomes the Green Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
The Flash with the Red Streak, whatever names they gave him for the first season, but now he's like, the cops are like, good luck, good, thanks for all the help, Flash. Like, it's very much 1960s, like, Silver Age stuff, and this is the Barry you kill.
Yeah, yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah, I don't think they are, but I like the fact that I can have this, I can say this, and it doesn't sound ridiculous.
Yeah, no, it's the Barry that it's taken, because I think he was also kind of this Barry in season 5. We finally got to that point of the elder statesman Barry, the Barry who's comfortable being a hero, who knows what being a hero is, and is also then, you know, showing that what it means to be a hero to others, right? That was a lot of it last in the teaching aspect of it, and also now when you get to the season 6 and we're here and we're faced with this idea of, because again, I'm with you, I don't think they're gonna kill him, just because I think it's almost too obvious for all of us. Of, we all know what crisis is, and we all know what that looks like for Barry Allen, and how flashes don't do well in crisis.
I'm gonna say flashes in general, really.
Yeah, flashes in general. It's just, you don't want to be a, you hear the word crisis and you're a flash, you just, it might be time to hang it up and retire.
Renew that life insurance policy. Right. Have a conversation.
Something.
With your loved ones.
Yeah. Have you talked to Allstate? I mean, I'm just saying, just have that. Let's think it out there. Leave something for your family. The idea you play there, and you're right, like, we've gotten to the point where we're at that Barry, we're at that moment of, he's that symbol, and what better way of showing that symbol than making the ultimate sacrifice for not just the city, but all the Earths in the multiverse, you know, and for all these billions and billions of people. So, yeah, I love the fact that we've gotten here at this point. You know, because again, even though they've been teasing this since season 1, I don't think any of us could envision at that time Barry being that Barry, because of all the dumb things Barry did, right? We would look at Barry and be like, Barry, what the fuck are you doing? Come on, man. Don't. You messing with the timeline again? Come on, man. Stop doing that. To the point now where Jay is literally looking at him going, oh yeah, no. You did the right thing. You made the right call, because you weren't going to change anything. You were going to observe. You were going to see. You could see something else. There's something larger going on here, and we need to figure this all out. So I really did appreciate how they pulled that off and how they did that. Portable Gideon.
We're here now.
I mean, we're in the future.
Because we know at some point, like, just because of the predestination paradox, Barry has to invent Gideon.
Yeah. Yeah.
time running out.
Yeah. Like we got to do the whole coming full circle and come back around and see that. So yeah, I really appreciated the whole arc they were doing with Barry and how we've gotten to this point, because again, how short it was is like, we got to this point, we see this, and now Barry basically gets to this whole, like, you know, we go through the whole stages of a denial, searching for an alternative way around it. And then finally we get to the end where it's acceptance. It's like, this is what I have to do. And again, didn't take us 4 or 5 episodes, took us one.
The stages of grief in one episode.
Right. Everything in one episode.
Except, you know, he's grieving and he's kind of accepted it. I like the fact that Iris has it.
Well, and I think it would be too weird if they both fell down that way. Like, it makes sense.
To go, Barry.
Right. Well, and you got to think about it and I think it makes sense from this point of view, because Barry's looking at it from a point of view of a hero, and this is what I have to do. This is the job. I was looking from the point of view of, this is not the first time that Barry's been almost ripped from her arms, and now it's getting to the point that what crisis looks like is that this isn't one of those times when he can come back. Like, right. There have been other times when Barry has had to leave or got stuck in the Speed Force or things have happened, and there was always this hope of, we go out and we find Barry, do the... This feels more final. So it makes sense that Iris wouldn't be 100% on board. Not to mention, she just lost her daughter, right? We have the disappearance of Nora, the erasure of Nora. And we just had her go through that last episode, and now she's faced with the inevitable end of Barry, which again, when we were looking at this before, you know, the timeline of this, of crisis, have been moved up. We know the timelines have changed, and we also know that this isn't just Barry. Like, that newspaper article made it almost ambiguous. Flash disappears and crisis, like, disappears. No, the monitor, Barry himself is like, oh, no, I die. This isn't, I disappear into the Speed Force. I walk into the Speed Force and disappear and serve some time in a Speed Force jail. No, I die. Like, I cease to exist. And so, yeah, I appreciate the fact of Iris. And believing that Iris is not gonna, you know, be as accepting of that of Barry, and it doesn't feel like, oh, come on, Iris, get on board with it. Like, you totally understand why Iris is never gonna be on board with that, because, you know, she's had all these things ripped from her already, and when you think about all the things that Iris has gone through, like, this will be the second fiance/husband she's had killed.
Oh shit, that's another great point.
Right. You know, I'm just saying, you know, like, I'm seeing this stuff, like, you know, this is what happened when you don't kill Iris in the first. Now you just gotta, you which worse, you what all the Irish fans now, what would have been worse, killing her off so she has to go through all this stuff, or now literally having her go through two loved ones dying, you know? and this one's more annoying. Just saying, I'm just throwing out there. And I also like the idea that now that Iris and Barry, again, I don't believe Iris is 100% like okay with it. She's like, I know you have to do this, but she's not going to be happy about it. Like, the idea that now it's like, okay, now we tell the team, you know, and this isn't something that we just keep to ourselves and we pretend like isn't happening. Like, again, we keep this thing moving and go from here. I am interested in seeing. I think this is also how we know that Barry doesn't die. We know there's a 22 episode season. Like, this would be something different if, like, crisis was happening at the end of the season.
Look, man, we know that the show, The Flash, will continue.
Right.
Who knows in the suit? Bring back John Wesley shit, motherfuckers.
Hey,
give me 11 episodes of Jay.
Don't do that. Don't get my hopes up.
I'm playing along. I'm keeping kayfabe, man. I don't know what Christ is gonna do.
Don't give me. Don't put things into my head that you know I might want to have.
Jealousy ship ain't working.
Jeez, man. I am. I'm not gonna lie. I was a little disappointed that Barry didn't respond back to "See you later, Flash" to Barry, to Jay. I was like, hey, come on, like Barry, let's get with the program. He says, see you later, Flash. You say, same to you, Flash. Like,
nah, man, the race is over. He ran his race. He's no longer the Flash.
Oh, come on. What, the Flash? Always the Flash. He's gonna put that helmet back on. You know
it. Of course he is. And Joe's gonna be pissed.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
The Flash is running the race and they hand the baton off, man.
Yeah. But hey, you know what? Flash's race is never over. Until he disappears in the Speed Force because of a crisis. A Flash doesn't stop running until he's dead. I'm just saying. I mean, it's just, you know. they die on their feet. what was I going to say? Hey, am I wrong, though?
Just move on, please.
I'm just saying.
You're correct, but you're still wrong. How about that?
Yeah, you like to say that. Speaking of correct but so wrong, I'm going to say here, Joe was kind of wrong about what he said to... He was both wrong and right what he said to Cecile. Like, I'll start with the end of the first one, what he was writing. I like the idea of Cecile becoming a defense attorney for Metis. I think that's a great idea, especially with her using... With her having these powers, with her... what she wants to do for her advocacy and what... How that works with Team Flash, and it makes sense for her to be a defense attorney and not a prosecutor, just because of what the nature of the work is. So
and her powers
exactly. Like I think
it's like the Matt Murdock, we only take innocent clients.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that works. I think that Joe was kind of wrong in the way he kind of framed it at first. He was like, "Yeah, you got to decide how you use your powers." Because, like, the way he framed it, I wanted to kind of go, but Joe was like, "That's Barry uses his powers at work too."
Look, I wasn't here for Joe telling Cecile she was wrong when she can read his mind.
You should have said
she was right and trust that she's going to read your mind and know that you know that she's wrong.
Exactly. I was like, Aunt Joe, I like you, but maybe you were just tired. I don't know what it was, but Joe, you were wrong.
He got a lot of black fatherhood this week. Maybe he just, some of it slipped away.
Yeah. The black husbandhood kind of fell flat.
Something had to suffer. Sorry it had to be you.
Yeah. I was just like, because he said this to Cecile, and I was like, you know she can read your mind, right? I was just like, ooh, not a good idea. But I do think that's how he doubled down on the, that's a great idea at the end. Not because it wasn't a great idea, but it's like, he had to be really enthusiastic about it because I'm like, yeah, Joe, you fucked up earlier. You fucked up.
He's making up ground. He's picking up ground. I like that.
Yeah, no. Hey, that's listen.
Acknowledgement and correction, Chris, is what that is.
Of course, correct. I appreciate it. I'm just saying.
All we can do is know better, do better.
Hey. Especially when your wife actually knows you know better.
For a fact, my friend.
It's just like, yeah. You can't even think wrong. Like, I remember them times when Joe would just get tired last year. She would just be like, how dare you think? He was like, wait, no, I'm just, oh, man, I can't even think to myself. Just like, yeah, Joe.
You got it. Why are you over here, Joe? Well, these thoughts are loud, and I could never.
Right. No, but this again goes to the way they treated some of these characters and giving them space and room to grow. Putting Cecile as a defense attorney gives her character, who, when you think about it, started off as a side character almost up here and now is 100% Team Flash, and that makes her even more Team Flash with her being a defense attorney. It gives her way more work to do, especially with this idea of her out here representing metahumans that the system doesn't look out for. You know, and treats wrong. We also got two other things kind of in this side, you know, kind of downplayed a little bit. One, we have this idea of this mysterious organization that's creating, you know, taking metahumans off the grid and using them for all kinds of black ops work. So there's that. And then two, there's also, we talked about this last week, how they're going to handle blood work. Right? And
they're gonna handle blood work,
huh?
They've done a good job of kind of slow burning us this so far.
Well, yeah. How and so what we get at the end with him using his power and basically creating this blood zombie, whatever. I'm like, you know what? And not seeing like he has complete control. Like, I don't know what's gonna happen next week with how they're handling that. I'm like, okay, cool. You have my attention because again, we mentioned this. This is kind of a throwaway character that literally got created in 2017. Is in maybe two issues. I don't even know, but maybe two issues. Kind of has a dumb power set. So we'll see. And so far, Russo has been, you know, kind of in the background with what he's doing. And I don't know how they're going to, you know, where that goes and how they're going to deal with it. But I appreciate the way they're slow burning it so we don't get, like, it's, I think this is the right move to make. It's the same thing they did with a little bit with Cicada. I think Cicada was probably even more in your face last season at the beginning than we are with Russo right now. Right. But I think it works. I think it works. We have. Go ahead.
No,
go ahead.
I'm just saying it works because it's a direct inversion of what they did. With Cicada, we never saw the origin. We only saw the after effects.
Right.
And now they're giving us this. Now that we're not dealing with, I guess, the main story being someone else's origin, it's not, we're not having to tease out Nora's origin like last season. This season, we're in the middle of it. We're deep into something. So having that refreshing, that Kitty Pryde viewpoint feel into the world, the new eyes on what the thing that we already love, having that be the villain as well is going to be, and having those worlds interact, because we saw from the preview for next episode, they're going to tell Team Flash at the same time that Mahinda Suresh's plan will collide with him. And I'm going to call him that until I remember his character's name. It doesn't matter because it wasn't great, but it's burned into my brain.
Is Ramsey Russo, and that's fine. No, or Rosso. So whatever. Yeah, no, I really do. I feel way more confident after last season of how they juggle everything and how everything comes together, because they just had a great job with it last season. So I'm 100% on board with it this season, and in particular with what we have in the background of how wide ranging Crisis is going to be, and we'll get more into that when we talk about Arrow. But yeah, I'm 100% on board with this. Anything else you want to cover before we wrap this one up?
The fact that Killer Frost is an artist while Katie's a scientist is awesome.
Is artist? You're using the term artist.
Wow.
Pretty loosely there.
Wow, look at you.
I mean,
art shaming. Wow.
I'm just saying, there's a couple.
We hear the Internet Network support all your interesting endeavors. Go do those things.
Hey, listen. I'm just saying. Drawing the equivalent of stick figures might not make you an artist. Doesn't mean you don't like to draw. You can like to draw. Maybe not calling yourself an artist.
You saying exactly what she said at the beginning of the episode, by the way, for the record.
And for the record, the artwork. Yeah, for the record, her artwork is kind of trash, but everybody else's is at least some kind of talent.
Wow, the eye of the beholder. Okay, wow.
Hey, I'm just. Look, you don't do people who aren't talented in certain things favors by stringing them along.
Nothing to support an artist, my friend. I'm big on supporting you.
Hey, listen, I support artists. Here's the thing. I support her taking some art classes.
We can move on. Well,
we already know I'm a terrible person. I mean, come on, this is not people's.
This reconfirmation's been damning.
It's not a Super Tuesday recap if I'm not a terrible person on there. I mean, at least to somebody on there. I mean, come on.
Sure, any excuse will do, I suppose.
Hey, it's not an excuse. It's a lifestyle. I'm just saying, it's a way of life.
He's still going.
Hey, I try here. All right, folks. Thank you guys very, very much for listening to us. Again, make sure you hop over onto the other episode we'll be doing. We're recording Arrow and Flash back to back this season, so we'll have Flash come up. Also, we're about 2 weeks away. We actually 2 weeks exactly away from our mailbag episode at the end of the month. We record that on the 30th. So start sending us in your emails for the mailbag at mtrnetwork.net.
Spoilers. X-Men. They fucking.
Oh, yeah. I gotta read that episode, that issue. I basically went through yesterday trying to figure out which of the Dawn of X books. And I was like, I just can't do all of them. So I try to get which.
Not with that attitude, you can't.
Hey, you're right. I it's not a winning attitude, but
get the one that's written by Hickman. How about that? That's one.
Well, of course. I got that in New Mutants. I mean, obviously.
But you heard about what happened this week, right?
No, not yet.
I'm not going to spoil anything. It's just one of the back matter pages. He explains the layout of one of the new headquarters. And you see the living quarters, and Scott, Logan, and Gene are all on the same side of the, say their quarters all next to each other, and their doors connect all three rooms.
Hey, come on.
Next movie, fuck it.
Yeah. I guess so. Wolverine and Cyclops are kind of brothers, and we sharing now.
Well, and now you look back at those issues with the party where everybody's chilling, and Cyclops is hugging Wolverine, and Jean's giving a beer to Emma. You're like, everything just I'm looking, man, and you know, Hickman confirmed it.
Hey. Okay, we're not going to do this right now, but I mean, if you think about it, and you think about correcting issues and moving forward of how you deal with certain things, putting some things all out of the open and basically saying, well, why can't we all just, you know, love each other?
You know, it ties back to the Sinister thing when they had the rumors. He's an investor as to what he does, and she's got two kids. Her husband knows, but if he's doing the same, then what's it matter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just...
Oh, shit, here we go.
I mean, hey, what can I say? What can I say? But yeah, so 2 weeks, mailbag at mtrnetwork.net. Also, make sure you check out the Supergirl episode that I think we just dropped earlier. By the time you hear this yesterday, you'll hear that Shannon and the Doctor on there. And I don't know if they're doing Batwoman or anybody's doing Batwoman. I don't know. So I know we're not.
No one's doing Batwoman.
I guess no one's doing Batwoman.
That's what I'm hearing.
Hey, listen, I mean, we got two shows already, so we...
I'm not doing Batwoman.
No.
Don't start volunteering. That's for anything.
Seat's taken. I mean, I don't know what to say. So, all right, folks. Thank you guys for listening. And until next time, we are out of here. Peace.